Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Welcome back, everyone, to Crusader Talk. We're talking all things William Carey Athletics. So very good to have you back with us on a Monday evening. We've got a lot to look back to over this past week. Some tournament baseball and softball and other news, William Carey Athletics, and more tournament baseball and softball to look forward to. We will talk to Craig Fletcher, head coach of our William Carey Softball Crusaders, a little later in the show. We'll get the head man himself, DJ Pulley, talking all things putting on tournaments and then more tournaments and rain delays and everything behind the scenes we saw this past week. And that William Carey will take care of next week as well, hosting the opening round of the baseball national tournament in NAIA National Tournament action. But for now, you are tuned in to Crusader Talk. As we said, we are live on the web as well, supertalkhattiesburg.com. If you miss any portion of the show or want to go back and listen to what you missed in the previous weeks, you can check us out in podcast form wherever you get your favorite podcast. My name is Ben Mile with my partner, Caleb Hamill, Will Tony, our producer engineer, and Craig Fletcher on the horn, head coach of our softball Crusaders. Coach, thanks so much for being back with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, Coach, a busy week for you, obviously, this past week. This is a fun time of the year where you get to compete for championships. Came up a little short in the SSAC tournament, but that was a stacked field. It was going to be tough in a lot of different ways in order to make a run there. Saw some good things out of your club. First thoughts looking back after that past week?
It was a good week. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago, slate's clean for everybody last week, and it was a good tournament, good competitive tournament. Everybody came to play, and we fell a little short. As we talked the last time, we were looking for the bats to wake up, and they didn't, and it's just tough to win at that level and that time of the year without scoring many runs.
Well, I do want to ask about your pitching, especially in the front end of the tournament. Haley Nations, two really good outings for you in that 3-2 win over Blue Mountain Christian. You edged the toppers. They scored two late in that game in the seventh inning, both runs unearned on Haley Nations' total. And she gives you a chance against the team that would eventually become the tournament champions, one of the best teams in the conference and the country all season long in Middle Georgia State. What was good about Haley's stuff in those first two games?
Well, if we come back after a few weeks off with the back, and she's just been getting better and better over the last month. And like you said, she pitched very well, hit her spots, missed her pitches, and did a really good job in the first one. And in the seventh inning, we had a couple, mistakes with the defense that gave up two runs. And then Middle Georgia game, again, threw really well, and we just, gave up one run in two different innings, a couple of big hits. They are very good at swinging the bat, tough team,
yeah.
And we just weren't able to respond to the plate and help her out, one of those things.
Coach, as we move further into the season, past the SSAC tournament, you move into the national tournament scene, which we'll know about what field you'll be a part of on Tuesday. For your club, you get a week off before you actually have tournament play, and for your Crusaders, it seems like health has been an issue on and off. Is there a time now for your club to get a little healthier ahead of that ahead of the national tournament?
It doesn't look like it. I lost another one. Didn't lose her, but she couldn't throw last week.
Yeah.
I had one, had to get stitches in her finger, Rachel Rodriguez. So she hit at the conference tournament, and she goes back to the doctor tomorrow. She's having a little trouble with that finger, so I don't know how that's going to turn out. But we had a couple others that hadn't been playing, and they won't be back either. So we're just hoping that, Rachel can come back and play. But you know, we're just having to play the cards that were dealt. It's been tough, but that's the way it goes.
Well, and I'm curious, with that week off, that's not typical for a lot of levels you see, but it feels like there are a lot of benefits to having a little time off. Obviously, you've got a little more space to get these conference tournaments in, but then with the week off, after a 1-2 appearance in the SSAC tournament, what's the benefit for your club to maybe shake some of that dust off and turn around and play stronger and come back ready to go in the national tournament?
Well, hopefully that kind of got a little wake-up call the other day. You know, going in, we were hoping to go and play well, and then didn't do what we wanted to do. But now they had a long weekend. They got through the finals today, so we can focus just on ball the rest of the week. We'll get back at it tomorrow, and then probably try to do a couple days of live pitching. I mean, we just need to see the ball live and try to get our bats back and going.
Coach, it seems like every time we talk about the SSAC as a conference, it's pretty strong at the top end for softball. In your experience in hosting a tournament, which, you know, it's going to be kind of odd not seeing you play in the NAIA opening round, not at Joseph and Nancy Fail Field, but based off what you've seen across the board in the SSAC and in other conferences, how do you feel like you're prepared as far as your team's experience in games this season for what they're likely to face in the national tournament?
Well, like you said, we've been here before. This group of kids has been here the last 3 years, and two, and then before that it was COVID. But I hope that we can build off of that and go into it with the confidence that we need, and like I said, knowing that we've been here, and Haley has certainly thrown it well at this level and stuff, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us getting back and playing our best ball this time of the year. The one seed or the four seed, it's just everybody can play at this time of year.
We're talking to Craig Fletcher, head coach of the softball William Carey Crusaders. And, Coach, I want to circle back to that offense that we've talked about several times on the show and off air. So I think if you knew the answer to this question, you'd probably put it into action. But when you think about that offense and maybe what needs to turn around, what needs to happen to have a stronger showing the national tournament, what comes to mind?
Better pitch selection would be a big key. I think a lot of times we just we're swinging at bad pitches. I don't know if we get tight a little bit or what, but the pitch selection and just, I was hoping to build last week and get some confidence back.
Sure.
You know, going up there, I think that's another key. We just kind of lost our confidence a little bit. I think we're at the plate, and instead of being offensive-minded, we're a little bit defensive-minded, and we got to change that and get, you know, we just got to want to go to the plate and just believe that we can hit.
Coach, we alluded to this a little bit earlier, the fact that there's a whole week ahead of a whole week open ahead of the national tournament beginning. You know, as the girls have finished up with their finals and all that and don't have to worry about classes in the meantime, does that change the schedule in preparation? What does this next week look like for your club?
Well, like I said, we gave them today off to get through with finals, and then tomorrow we'll go back at it in the morning. With being out of school, we can practice, you know, before lunch. So we will go in the morning about 10:30, and then, like I said, we'll look to go live on Wednesday and probably Thursday with four pitchers, and, you know, see what we can do. And then depending on where we're going, you know, we may have to leave Friday. So it could be a short week.
Sure.
Or when we're not hosting, but we'll know more tomorrow.
All right, Coach, final question before we let you go. Zooming out 30,000-foot view, one or two big things that your club needs to do to make a run at a chance at winning an opening round site?
Biggest thing will be just to do the little things, not give away any runs, and then look to put the ball in play, you know, and just swing bats. I think our pitching has done well all year. It keeps us in ball games. We just got to score a few runs, and then on the defensive side, not give away anything, not make it easy for the other team.
Coach, we appreciate your time as always. Good luck this upcoming week.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Craig Fletcher, head coach of our softball Crusaders. Sounds like he's got a little ball to get back to, and we mentioned talking to Coach Fletcher there, 3-2 win over Blue Mountain Christian, and then the next two games in that tournament in Decatur, Alabama, on the softball side of things, a 2-0 loss to Middle Georgia State. They would become your eventual SSAC tournament champions on the softball side of things, and then an 8-2 loss in the final game to be eliminated from that tournament. And Caleb, we've talked about the depth of the quality of depth and the parity in this conference. Definitely saw it in that conference tournament this last week.
You did. I mean, the quality is unsurpassed. Hold on. Another sip of coffee. Can you tell we've been calling games a long time? But no, it really speaks to what the SSAC, especially the top of the league, has to offer.
Yes.
I mean, to face Middle Georgia State in the second game of the tournament was a pretty shocking blow.
Yeah, it's a
tough
draw.
Them down. And then from there, it felt like William Carey kind of played tight as far as the softball team is concerned.
Sure.
Several unearned runs given up to go behind 4-0 to start the game. And then from there, it was just a battle to try to get back into it. But it's just tough sledding.
Yeah, and we will circle back to maybe some other things that William Carey on the softball side needs to do to make some noise in the national tournament. Coming up next, we will look back at a very full week of baseball. Me and Caleb were both there calling games and taking in what was a wild baseball tournament in the SSAC. We'll talk about that next. This is Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Continuing Crusader Talk on this Monday night. Glad to have you with us wherever you are, whether you're tuned in your automobile or at home. Maybe you're still at the office, wherever you are. So very nice to have you with us. My name is Ben Milam, here with Caleb Hamill, my partner, Will Tony, our producer-engineer. Caleb, before we talk about the baseball tournament, let's circle back around really quickly to softball. We've talked several times, especially postseason softball, when you have an ace who is on, regardless of the offensive output, obviously you've got to score one or two in most ball games. But if you have someone in the circle who is throwing up to their potential, and the potential of Haley Nations, we've talked about her. I think you can say the same thing about Ryan Horns, but you've got a shot in every ball game and in every tournament.
I really like the way that Carey's pitching lines up for a national tournament.
Yes.
One, we saw it last year, Haley Nations, you're going to have to pry that ball out of her fingers and then also have to lock her up in a game where she doesn't start to keep her from just charging onto the field in relief if her number's called or if things start to go awry. She will always want to have that ball in her hand.
Yeah. And you can keep up to date with where the Crusaders will be headed in the opening round. Again, that will start Tuesday of next week over on GoWCUCrusaders.com. You will have all the up-to-date information right there on the website. And Caleb, this is our last show before the summer, so we will actually not be here to break that down.
Well,
feels a little weird, doesn't it?
It does feel a little weird. I tell you what, we'll say for now this is our last episode. If there comes something
good
that happens later on, we may have
we'll squeeze one in.
We'll squeeze one in.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can get that approved.
Oh, yes, yes. So planned, as of right now, this is our last show before the summer. But we've got a lot to get to before we finish things up here on Crusader Talk. As we said, it was a busy, busy, busy week of baseball. I was on the call for 14 total baseball games. Caleb, 11. Josh West was with us the beginning of that tournament for 5 of those ball games. And Caleb, I have never been a part, first of all, on the broadcast side of things, something that lengthy and intense. I mean, you call a 2.5-3 hour ball game, you get about 25 minutes, probably a little less actually, to get your books in, to get a sip of coffee, to get some food, and then you're right back at it. You do that 4 games across a day, and you do that for 4 straight days. It was a little taxing.
Felt like I was in elementary school again, scarfing down my lunch or dinner in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I will say on the flip side of things, just on the field, I've watched a lot of baseball. I've seen a lot of softball, a lot of postseason baseball and softball. I'm not sure I've seen a tournament with as many weird and unorthodox turns and calls and big moments that could have gone either way and went a certain way in a really strange way that we saw, it seemed like, over and over and over again in this tournament.
Yeah, conference tournaments, I don't know what it is about it. They always bring out the wackiest of situations. And the SSAC, that was a prime example of one right there. And I think it had a strong start to the wackiness with that nightcap game between Blue Mountain and William Carey.
That's exactly right. It was an 8-7 win for the 8-seed Blue Mountain Christian University Toppers over the 1-seed William Carey Crusaders, and you could feel the shock and surprise of the home crowd as we went on into the late innings of that game. Blue Mountain Christian led that game the whole way. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, Caleb, 7-3 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, correct?
I think you're right. If it wasn't that, it was really close to it.
It was a lot of ball games that we have to remember, but I think that's correct. 7-3, and I know that it was a 4-run rally in that bottom of the ninth inning to push it to extra innings. Billy Garrity got an RBI single up the middle to push it to extras to get that final run across to tie it at 7-7. Blue Mountain Christian was able to get a run at the top of the 11th inning. Crusaders could not score in the bottom of the 11th. So there was a big upset that I don't really think anyone saw coming, if they were being honest with you, ahead of that tournament. So that sent William Carey into the loser's bracket. The next day, they would defeat Middle Georgia in a little more of what we thought we would see from the Crusaders, given how they've been playing the last couple of weeks. They won that one 14-1 and then had a rematch with Blue Mountain Christian in another elimination game, this to come into the semifinals, de facto semifinals of the SSAC tournament. Knocked off the Toppers in that rematch 15-5 in a run rule shortened affair, and then pushed the if necessary game against Loyola, knocking them off 16-13. That was one of the wildest games we saw in the tournament, and then came back and beat Loyola 5-1 the next day on Sunday. And then, Caleb, we had the table set for it felt a little bit like this rematch was coming between Mobile and William Carey. The way that Mobile was playing, they won the first two. They had been sitting in the winner's bracket. They had a little more pitching depth than everyone else. And so it was a showdown I think we were halfway expecting. We knew it was going to be a tough matchup for William Carey, but especially because of the pitching that had been worn thin, because you play an extra game. This was game number 6 for William Carey, and at that point it's all hands on deck, but all of the hands on the deck have been well worn.
That's right. And this, the whole theme for William Carey throughout this tournament is that they are playing this to stay fresh ahead of the national tournament, but also not to get anybody hurt ahead of the national tournament. And
sure.
Start to finish, you look at what happened in the Blue Mountain game. They didn't go with their typical Friday night starter in Andrew Shira. They went with Connor Adams, typically more of a midweek type approach to that contest, because they wanted Shira to have full rest like you would expect for a full week. And so they went that route, ended up falling to the Toppers. Then you saw them kick in Shira, a little unorthodox after they started Stinson, had to take him out after 3 innings because of a 4.5-hour rain delay.
Right.
Then ended up using their third starter, Herrera, in relief, which really messed with the whole puzzle. I say that, not really, because then, after you worked your way through the loser's bracket and forced an if-necessary game with Loyola, on Sunday you throw A.J. Stinson again because he basically only threw a bullpen in that game before. And he throws 151 pitches.
Yeah.
I was beside myself to see them take him that far in the game. But that said, when you get to the end of the tournament, William Carey in the back of their minds the whole time are saying, we already know we're secure. We're hosting the opening round. We are in the tournament. Mobile also knows they're in the tournament, but they've had to play one less game.
Yep.
And so for Mobile, after being swept by the Crusaders in the regular season, had a little bit of revenge, and then also had a first ever conference tournament championship or any type of championship in the SSAC to play for, and they capitalized.
They did. It was a 22-10 final score. Mobile won it over William Carey in the conference tournament title game. and it was never really all that close. Five total errors for the Crusaders, and it was just I think them playing a little sloppy, William Carey, and then you pair the pitching depth or lack thereof into that. It was sort of the perfect storm for Mobile, but credit to the Mobile Rams. They played great baseball on Sunday night, and they, along with everyone else, await their fate in terms of the full field. That will be announced later this week. And again, I will point you to GoWCUCrusaders.com to keep tabs on who will come to Hattiesburg, Caleb, as the Crusaders host the opening round next Monday.
I do have details on that, okay, selection. So it will be a selection show in which they will present the opening round, yeah, sites and teams that will be in those. If you will follow the NAIA YouTube channel, there's also links on the NAIA website as well. It'll be 4 p.m. Central Time on Thursday of this week. They will start the live stream and unveil the bracket,
yeah,
for the opening round. And softball will have the same thing happen on Tuesday, same time. They will unveil the field, and we'll get to see where William Carey will travel.
And in terms of that format, I think you feel a lot better about the pitching depth, especially I think William Carey coming into the conference tournament felt like they had the most pitching depth out of anyone. And so especially in a national tournament, the opening round at least, it's a double elimination format. Max five teams will be in that opening round. And so you don't have to go win six or seven ball games, or at least play in six or seven ball games. You feel pretty good about the Crusaders in terms of that pitching depth, and with the way that that the offense has swung it over this last month. I think you feel good overall about William Carey.
You feel pretty good, and you'll feel a lot better if you can see the likes of Patrick Lee and Bailey Hendon return.
Absolutely.
From Coach Halford, in my conversation toward the end of the tournament, he seemed to feel confident that Bailey Hendon would be back after he sustained that injury in the first game of the tournament.
Yes.
Making a crazy catch running into the wall. And then Patrick Lee, as we've known for a long time, hamstring injury. We saw him a little bit in the tournament, just hit. Second time we saw him on the base pass, he looked pretty fresh.
He did, yeah.
So that's good news for the Crusaders going forward. It's pitching is not the question.
No.
It's about the timely hitting.
Right, yep.
And if those pieces come back, you feel really good.
Yeah, and even without it, the offense was pretty dang good this past week. And also, Braden Coffey returned after the concussion he sustained a couple of weeks ago. So we feel like William Carey will be fully loaded in a week to begin national tournament play. That will be announced, as Caleb said, over on the NAIA YouTube channel. Do you have an official name for that?
I think it's Play NAIA,
okay,
on YouTube.
There you go. So you can check that out and get the full bracket and everything else in terms of national tournament baseball in the NAIA. Coming up next, we will talk to DJ Pulley, AD here at William Carey, and get his thoughts on this past week and the week ahead. This is Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yes, you are rolling right along on a Monday night. This is indeed Crusader Talk, and we are talking all things William Carey athletics live from the Super Talk studio in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, live on the web, supertalkhattiesburg.com, or in podcast form. After the show, or any of our previous shows, wherever you get your podcast, my name is Ben Milam with my partner, Caleb Hamill, our producer, engineer, Will Tony. We've got DJ Pulley on the phone. And DJ, I just got a text from someone that wants to host a baseball tournament Tuesday through Friday of this week at William Carey. You enter, you out.
Why not, man? We just might as well just keep going, man. I think we've got it figured out now. And, you know, sleeps, yeah, for the week, dude.
Yeah, I will say. Wednesday, we did Wednesday through Sunday. So, I mean, I'm about baseballed out, DJ. I don't know about you. I mean, Obviously, any day at the ballpark's a good day. That was a long one.
That was a long one. You know, it was long. That's about the only way to say it. You know, with the weather issues we had, and you know, trying to figure out what's best, you know, and baseball is so much more difficult than softball championships when we host those, because you don't have to worry about the pitchers, you know, like the situation we had where we started our game on, I guess it was that Friday, I can't even remember now, where we were only able to play three innings and we had a 5.5
hour rain. Yeah, it was Friday.
Before we were able to resume, and you know, and you kind of burned a starter, so it kind of messed Coach Halford up a little bit, and you know, hindsight 2020, you know, that we, you know, about 10 minutes before the game was starting, you could see the thunderstorm start popping up, you know, but I mean, I never envisioned it was going to be as, you know, severe as it was when it got to us. But it's just, you know, then it messed, you know, just messed everything up. And then, you know, trying to keep equity in the brackets, I guess, for the winners, and, you know, not having one winner play on one way, not on another. And it was interesting, you know. You know, but thankfully on Sunday, I mean, I can only imagine what would happen if it had been raining Sunday, that we were able to get some sunshine.
I had a nightmare about that last night.
Had a really good day at the ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
You know, a lot of a long day, you know, by that time. That's one thing that's frustrating. Not frustrating, it's just tough when these tournaments get towards the end there. Everybody's pitching is done.
Yes.
You know, at this time, you know, because you're, especially with Mobile and Kerry in that situation, you know, they've got other fish to fry. You know, it's kind of, we got, you know, everybody's got open around, and, you know, next week, so you
sure.
Just kind of have to, you hope you win, but, you know, hope you don't hurt anybody at the same time. So I
want to, you know, there's a rumor floating out there after we've learned so many lessons from this conference tournament. Is there going to be a coffee truck out there at Milton Wheeler for the NAIA opening round?
We are going to, yes, and tonight we're going to get, we're going to send our coffee connoisseur, Lard Broom, all the time. Now, we were talking about that the other day. It was kind of funny, though, the most popular thing in the hospitality suite did would be the Dr. Burnett's K-Cups, you know, because everybody was going
there
to get coffee and get some of the drink.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, an 18 double elimination bracket, you know, we were talking about this, Caleb, you know, it's just, it's hard. I mean, especially, you know, in a perfect scenario, you're even if you start at 10 a.m., you're going to be at the ballpark to midnight.
Yeah.
More than likely, you're not going to play a game in the 3-hour window that you hope to play it in, and it's grueling. Was it ended up being 15 games when it was all said and done?
That's right.
You know, so you know, I mean, so it wasn't, that's a lot of innings, a lot of pitches. You know, the strike zones were a little tight, in my opinion, for especially as the pitching started to wear down. You know, so it was it made for some long days, but you know, heck, it's fun. I mean, that's what Milton Wheeler Field was built for.
Oh man,
I'm not even gonna run the story about that, but you know, where the dorms sit was the old ballpark, and back in when we were in the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, if you won the regular season, you hosted. So Coach Hopper's only got about 20 of those championships under his belt. So we hosted every year at H.R. Morgan. And so when Dr. Kennedy wanted to move the dorm, put the dorms there and move the field, it was that park was designed to host that specific 18 tournament is what it was designed for, and it did a great job. Maybe only like the second time we got to host one that big because the opening rounds are only 5 teams. So yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it really is a lot of fun. It's just a lot of work. So
it is.
It's all good.
And you know, I want to circle back to that conversation about the tournament format. Yeah, I thought about it a little bit more, and as I – analyze through this, just thinking about what the loser's bracket means to give a team a second opportunity, to just think about it, whenever William Carey lost in the first game they played, if you win or if you lose any of your first two games, you are going to play more than somebody that stayed in the winner's bracket, even if there's an if necessary game forced. So if you get to that championship game and your number one seed who's come through the loser's bracket is so depleted to the point that there is no pitching left to perform, you're left with just a run-of-the-muck championship game that just is determined by who gives up the least amount of walks.
Exactly.
And you and I talked about, one, the pitching that's left in a tournament like that, and also just the sheer amount of games. You and I kind of went back and forth about maybe making, instead of an if-necessary game thing, maybe when you get down to the final four teams – do pure single elimination, and that way it's good, solid pitching and earned wins the rest of the way.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's something I bounced off a couple of coaches when I was there. Some, you know, were, you know, in favor. I think another thing, too, is, you know, with the way we've got the SSAC set up, we're basically, since you have 2 4-team tournaments going on simultaneously with the winners playing, you know, and I think there's also that, you know, that put Mobile playing Faulkner 6 times in the last 10 days.
Ooh.
I believe is what somebody said, because they played them. That was their last series, regular season series of the year. And then it's also the same with us with Loyola. So, you know, we play them that many times. That's a lot to play one team. You know, but Caleb, I was thinking about, too, after we got on the flip side of it, you know, I think there needs to be more protection of the top 4 seeds in our conference, because I feel like we're going to be a 3, more than likely, this year might not happen, but more likely a 4-bid team every year to the opening round. You know, and then it's like, well, what if you put the single elimination, maybe like play 5, play 8, 6, play 7 on the backside of it, you know, single elimination to get in to the opening round.
Yeah.
I mean, get into the tournament, and then you, from there you have a 16 tournament to run it all the way out, which is not bad. You know, and then you've protected your number one, your top four. Their number ones are lined up against twos, and then you can run it all the way out from there and maybe get your pitching lined up. But like you said, if you lose a game, it's just devastating. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's what's so important next week. The win the first game. I mean, it is absolutely critical to win that game, because especially in our case with our, you know, we have three very, very good starters, you know, some very good relievers, but, you know, just to take the what if out of the equations to win those games. And, you know, and that's one thing, you know, we hit a lot, but, you know, at the end of the day, we could not hit all the walks and everything like that. So
we're talking to DJ Pulley, athletic director here at William Carey. Also doubled as weather forecaster, maintenance man. Saw you painting plenty of lines down the third and first baseline, DJ.
Pull some tarps.
A little bit of everything.
And you had to.
I don't know what we were thinking. We ordered that big monstrosity.
And you had to order some folks off of the field that were trying to fix the tarp in a lightning storm.
Yeah, I was one of those. Yeah,
we have an app that tells us how many lightning strikes were happening. I think it was some like 4,000 bolts in like 5 minutes when that storm came through.
Whoa.
And now there's two guys trying to pull the tarp back. I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, if it wasn't them, it was going to be Ben and I. So.
Yeah. I mean, the damage was done. So
right.
By that point.
Well, DJ, take us behind the scenes a little bit of you and your staff, everything it takes. I mean, if you can do that in 2 minutes, everything it takes to put on a tournament like that behind the scenes.
It takes an army. I mean, you know, starting with you guys. I mean, you guys, you know, having to sort out the live video streams and that part. You know, Kevin with the press box staff, public address announcers, just logistically planning it all out. I mean, we started. You know, we knew we were hosting in January. We kind of started piecing it away. You know, we're trying to make sure people got taking vacation time. You know, like with Mike Peterson was running the scoreboards. So we're making sure he was, you know, hey, you're gonna be off of this thing, and then. And then, you know, we got about 2 weeks out, we had our first hardcore meeting, you know, like we brought in Coca-Cola, our advancement office, things like that. They're trying to get the logistics, you know, the hospitality room, and then you get the coaches in there and say, hey, make sure we got everything for the field. And you know, and for us, that's one thing good about what William Carey does, you know, and I learned this from Steve, Tracy, and Bobby. It's when we host these things, it's all hands on deck. And, you know, I think every coach out there is something helping. We want our university to look the best it can. We want a great experience for those kids, for all teams. Because this is the highlight of their season. It should be the best run tournament. You know, I know it wasn't perfect. I learned a lot. It's been a long time since I hosted one like this big, so I learned a lot about myself and you know how we could do things a little bit different next time to make it even better. And you know, if the SSAC needs us again, we're going to be there and be ready to go.
So. Sure. Well, we won't do it to that scale again, but we'll do it again a little smaller format next week. We're looking forward to that. But, DJ, while we have you here before we run up on our break, if you could give us just a brief synopsis circling back to the athletics calendar that was in 2022-2023 ahead of the break we're taking this summer. A lot of success to talk about, but just a few highlights here.
You know, it goes back to, you know, Paulina May in cross country winning our first individual national title in that sport. I mean, that's something we had won one on the men's side, but, you know, in women's cross country, it's just such a tough thing to do. And it was so awesome for her to win that thing. You know, women's soccer had another great year, cross country championships. But then you get to the springtime and, you know, in tennis and baseball. I mean, baseball's run's been, I mean, that's the best in the history of the conference that run through the SSAC this year.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Hopper's been doing this for a long time. It's one of his best teams ever. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I was with women's golf today. We're getting ready to go to Nationals.
Yeah.
On May the 20th. So, they're having another great year. So, it's been a really good year. We've had some, you know, academically, the bar is continuing to move higher. Our students are doing well. We've had more scholar athletes than we ever had this year. So, it's been a good year. Still got a long ways to go, though, and hopefully we can take it all. Hopefully I'm standing in Lewiston, Idaho at the end of the year watching Coach Alford get what the one thing he deserves more than anything, is that national title. So hopefully these guys can bring it home to it. So.
Take us with you.
Caleb wants to go to Lewiston, Idaho.
Well, come on, let's go. By this point, we're off the grid, money spent. So.
Oh, boy. Yes. Well, DJ, congratulations on a fantastic tournament this past week. And like you said, we'll see you real soon. And we'll have plenty of coffee on deck this upcoming week, DJ.
So we'll see y'all.
All right. Monday. Thanks so much, DJ. See you soon. That is DJ Pulley, athletic director here at William Carey. Caleb, I had not heard about the coffee truck. That's something we could have used last week.
I may have started that rumor, actually.
Okay. DJ sounded like he was on board.
Who wouldn't be after that tournament?
I wish we had kept tally of how many coffee cups we had downed last week, but it was all worth it. It was a great tournament. Crusaders come up a little bit short in the conference title game, but a whole lot to look forward to. As DJ said there, hopefully the Crusaders will be playing ball in Lewiston, Idaho. Little to take care of before then. And again, Thursday, Caleb, 4 o'clock, play NAIA on YouTube for the selection show for the national tournament.
That is correct.
And softball, Tuesday, 4 o'clock. I think we forgot to mention that. So tomorrow at 4 o'clock, same YouTube channel, you can check out the softball side of things. The field will be announced right there live, and you can also circle back around to GoWCUCrusaders.com for any information you need on what is to come for the softball and baseball Crusaders. We'll wrap things up as well as we can with a whole lot to circle back and talk about when we return on our final segment. This is Crusader Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Wrapping things up on Crusader Talk, our final show before a summer break. Planned break.
You're telling me I'm fired.
Yes. Well, we were going to have a conversation after the show, but okay. Might as well do it now.
Well, it's you're not fired. We're just docking your pay to nothing for a little while.
So the $12 that I would normally get for doing this show, I'm not going to have on my
paycheck. Sorry about that.
You'll have to find that somewhere else. Yeah. But we're taking care of all kinds of logistics here on the show live, and you are privy to that conversation. That's what you get here on Crusader
Talk. It's live radio, man.
Hey, we're glad to have you with us on this Monday night. We have been glad to have you with us all spring long. We'll be back in the fall and hopefully back a little sooner to maybe talk some World Series baseball. That is a potential prospect that we look forward to and hope we have to work out a way to do that. But as for now, William Carey on the baseball side of things, they will begin their national tournament run on Monday of next week. That is a week from today. Softball will begin Tuesday of next week. And again, just to make sure you know it if you have not heard it, Tuesday, that is tomorrow, 4 o'clock, the national tournament field will be announced on the softball side for the NAIA National Tournament. Baseball, 4 o'clock on Play NAIA, the YouTube channel. There will be a live selection show. Caleb, let's circle back around while we have a few minutes here to what we described as a long and winding and chaotic road that led us to the 15th and final ball game. Again, Mobile wins the tournament title game over William Carey 22-10, but a lot of stuff happened before that. Any favorite moments from last week?
You know, we'll talk specific moments of the games, but before I want to jump into that, I want to say thank you to all the coaches that we were able to contact and talk to throughout the week, yes. Post-game interviews and even pre-game. I mean, Coach Kennedy for Loyola talked with us at length. Just hanging out during rain delays and all that was a load of fun. It was always so refreshing whenever you got to interview Coach McCarthy at Faulkner.
Yeah.
You would get a question out of your mouth, but before he would answer it, he would always start off that post-game interview with a direct address to his wife and family saying that he loved them and that – though he loves it, I'm sorry, I'm going to be here for another day.
Yeah.
It's just always cool to see that happen.
You don't see that out of coaches.
You don't. No. You don't.
Anywhere.
And his wife was constantly in the text line and giving us good nuggets, too. And it was a fun ride there.
There are a few levels of competition that high that you get that sort of interaction.
Right.
And just good, down-to-earth, genuine people across the board.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think about Coach John Seymour after the championship game, after he got doused with a Gatorade, and I luckily saw them out of the corner of my eye, save the equipment. But talking about Mike Jacobs, former Mobile head coach who passed away from a heart attack a couple years ago, just talking about the story of his impact on his life and what it means to him and how Jacobs led Coach Seymour to the Lord. It was just very awesome just to connect with these teams and these coaches on a personal level. Now, for the wacky stuff. That Faulkner Mobile game, the one that forced the if necessary game, is the first one that comes to mind. Bases loaded for Faulkner in the bottom of the ninth inning, a 6-6 game, and they bring in Tyler Duxbury. The bases were loaded because they intentionally passed a player to load him up. And he, I've forgotten his name, Tucker Musgrove.
Tucker Musgrove, yeah.
Goes into the windup, and he's already thrown a couple pitches at this point. It's a 1-1 count. And all of a sudden, the home plate umpire decides, oh, that's a balk.
Yeah.
And says, it's 7-6. The ball game's over.
Pandemonium at the ballpark. Let me tell you.
Because there are a lot of Mobile fans that made the drive up to William Carey.
It is possible to balk in a windup, but it is exceedingly rare. And in that moment, again, would have ended the ball game. You do not see that call.
No. Imagine the most misunderstood or just and hardest written rule in baseball, the balk.
Yeah.
Is what
nobody
determined.
Knows what it is.
Nobody knows what it is. I don't think half the umpires that
we
call the
umpire
know what it
crew
is.
Went to their locker room to look at the rule book. And we thought for a second they were going to look at the tape. We had no one knew what was going on.
No. And the clarification later was not only were they talking about was it a balk, but they were asking, can you overturn a balk call? That was the biggest deal that I didn't realize at the time. But they looked at the rule book and it said, though rare, you can overturn it. So, but at the end of the day, they walked the next batter and the game was over on a bases loaded balk.
But here's the thing. On a balk, most umpires are not in position to call it. Even if they know it.
That's part of it, too. That's why there's always an argument. That's why it was always controversial, and it certainly was in that moment. That was just one of many things we saw. We should have counted up the total runs that were scored in that tournament. I mean, just about triple digits in the last 2 days, if not over that. But it was a fun week nonetheless. Our Seder of the week this week is RJ Stinson. He was named the SSAC Player of the Year in 2023. Well earned for RJ Stinson, who's been doing it for a long time for William Carey. He also broke the single season hits record of 88. He broke the all-time runs record in that tournament. The team, for an offense that has been incredible this season, broke the single-season runs record last weekend of 510, set by the 2017 team, the last team to go to the World Series. We hope that is a sign of things to come. And they broke the single-season doubles record. From all of us here at Super Talk, Caleb Hamill, Will Tony, my name is Ben Milam. We want to thank you for being a part of Crusader Talk this spring, and we hope to see you very, very soon. Until then, go Saters, and good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.